This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy, excited, thrilled to be here with you on this wonderful Monday. All right, let's talk about this for a little bit, and then eventually we will transition over to the hits. Now, I got great respect for the people at KC Sports Network. I think they do fantastic work. BJ Kissel, Ken Swanson, the whole team. So salute to them. They tweeted out a trade proposal for the Chiefs to go out and get Amari Cooper. Now, here was the trade scenario. So the Chiefs, they would receive Amari Cooper. They also would get a Browns fourth round pick. The Chiefs are sending to Cleveland their second round pick next year and their sixth round pick next year. And I commented on the tweet and I said this: I understand why people are making trade proposals for Amari Cooper. He is the number one wide receiver that is realistic that I would want the Chiefs to go out there and get. If you look at Amari Cooper's contract, it is exactly in line with what I think the Chiefs want and need at this moment. So we just heard from Andy Reid earlier today that we should treat the injury to Rashee Rice like he tore his ACL. That means he's not coming back in 90 days to help. I'm also not sure if Hollywood Brown is coming back. So who you thought were going to be your number one and number two receivers, I think you have to operate the rest of the season as if they are not going to be there. Amari Cooper, his contract is up at the end of the season, and he will be an unrestricted free agent. Now, the Chiefs, in theory, could franchise tag Amari Cooper, but I don't think they're franchise tagging him. So, with that said, I am not interested in the least bit in trading a second-round pick for a player who is the definition of a rental piece. Usually, if you were going to make that move, maybe you make that trade in the beginning of the season. I'm certainly not interested in trading a second round pick for 10 games of Amari Cooper. That's not to say that I don't want to trade for Amari Cooper, but I think it's important to note Amari Cooper, this is now the third time he has been traded in his NFL career. He is 30 years old. The last time that he was traded, the Browns got him for the 155th pick and they swapped sixth round picks. Now, I like Amari Cooper, and I think he is a good player, but I am telling you that in 2 years, He has done nothing to go from his value was pick 155 in a sixth round pick swap to now the Chiefs should give up the 61st overall pick in exchange for Amari Cooper. I'm trying to figure out the last player who was 30 years old who got traded midseason and their value appreciated and didn't depreciate. I'm not saying that you can get Amari Cooper for a bag of balls or a seventh round pick, but I'm telling you that a second round designation for Amari Cooper is way too expensive, A, for the kind of player that I think he is and what I think that he's worth. I understand putting your chips in the middle of the table for a three-peat. I want the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, too. I know we were joking about the Commanders. Hopefully, you can understand that we're just having a little bit of fun. I want the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, too. But I don't want them to trade a second-round pick for Amari Cooper. I don't think that he's worth a second-round pick. Usually, the guys that get traded for that are top-notch guys. You trade a first-round pick for Tyreek Hill. You trade a first-round pick for an A.J. Brown. I mean, we saw Diggs get traded for a second-round pick. That was also in the offseason, and Houston is just in a different situation. I also think that Stephon Diggs is a better receiver than Amari Cooper. I'm willing to trade a fourth-round pick for Amari Cooper that can be a conditional third-round pick depending on the Chiefs making the Super Bowl. I think that is a fair trade for where he is as a player. Now, if you want to do a pick swap of a fifth round or a sixth round, I'm not concerned with that. What's the big piece of compensation? The big piece of compensation, I would trade a fourth round pick, and you can make it conditional. We know the Chiefs are making the playoffs, so what does that need to be it? Whether the Chiefs make the AFC Championship game or make it to the Super Bowl, then it triggers that fourth round pick can turn into a third round pick, and the Browns get a top 100 pick for the Chiefs getting back to the AFC Championship game and or the Super Bowl. That is the most I'd be willing to spend for Amari Cooper because that's what I think Amari Cooper's worth.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If the Chiefs are going to give up any level of premium asset, first off, I'll be out. I don't like giving up premium assets. But two, it needs to be a guy with multiple years left on his deal or a guy that you're going to re-sign. And Amari Cooper doesn't check either of those boxes. So if you can get Amari Cooper for what the Cowboys gave up, Cowboys got back to send him to the Browns, which I believe is a fifth and a sixth, I'm on board. A fifth and a sixth for Cooper is a win. But if you're giving up a second for a guy that will play, what, seven games, six, seven, eight games, somewhere in there, that is too high a price to pay, especially considering you are unlikely to give him an extension in the offseason. So second round pick is crazy.
But you say that, though, the unlikely thing and why I think Amari Cooper is so interesting to me is the Chiefs still have a need at wide receiver. We don't know what the health looks like for Rashee Rice and how long he's going to be out. We also think that he's going to miss some time maybe next year, not just due to injury, but for him playing speed racer in the offseason. And you only got Hollywood Brown for a first round pick. So it feels like Groundhog's Day. Guess what the Chiefs are going to need to go pick up this offseason? A wide receiver. For now, the fourth consecutive offseason. So I'm not against you making a trade for Amari Cooper. He has a good second half of the season, and you just determining, hey, we like you and we want you to stay here. We think you're good. Hey, we're going to sign you to a three-year deal. It's really a two-year deal. So you'll be here for ages 31 and 32. Finish out your career and try to win a couple of championships. You haven't had real postseason success. You played for Oakland, Dallas, and Cleveland. Come to Kansas City. Come play with Pat. Come hang out with Taylor Swift. Come be in a movie with Travis Kelce. Win a couple of Super Bowls. Get your money and be happy. That would be my pitch to go get Amari Cooper. I think he's available. It doesn't make any sense to me if you're Cleveland why you would keep him. His contract is void at the end of the year. He's an unrestricted free agent. And the last thing that I would do if I'm a wide receiver is keep playing with Deshaun Watson. He's the worst quarterback in the league. So it just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, maybe I am undervaluing Amari Cooper, but I'm just simply trying to figure out when a team in the middle of the season has traded a top 75 pick for a 30-year-old wide receiver. I just think that value is just way too high on Amari Cooper. I think even the fourth round might be a little bit high. He really might be worth a fifth or a sixth round pick, but his contract is pretty favorable, so maybe you got to pay a little bit more of a premium because the Chiefs are not the only team in the league that could use Amari Cooper. You know who else could use him? Buffalo. Buffalo could really use a number one wide receiver. You put Amari Cooper on that team. You've got Shakir. You got Keon Coleman. You've got the tight ends. That's a really good addition to the team. So there's going to be a market to go get Amari Cooper. I just think a second round pick is too high.
Can I ask you a question? Because you said, like, okay, they're going to be in the same spot next year. Maybe you do give them a contract. When was the last time the Chiefs gave a skill position contract to a 30-plus-year-old? That's not really how when do they give a big contract to anyone at 30-plus years old?
Man, I mean, they ain't really gave a big contract to anybody that wasn't Chris Jones or rookies that they drafted.
The Chiefs, low-key, are a little bit of an ageist when it comes to giving contract extensions. If you ain't young, you ain't getting one. I mean, we can name the big ones they've given. Anthony Hitchens didn't work, but he was 25. Sammy Watkins, you know, varying degrees of success. He was 25. Like, name the players. They're either coming off their first contract or they're on their first contract with the Chiefs. Kelsey and Jones are outliers, but that's their guys. So, like, I get what you're saying. Maybe you trade for them and then you do sign them in the offseason, but that's not how they have operated at any point in the Brett Veach tenure.
You are 100% correct. I can't disagree with that, but I would say one of the reasons why the Chiefs continue to be in this situation is they haven't invested in the position. Now, injuries happen to this team. It doesn't matter if you spent a lot of money in free agency or didn't. You signed a wide receiver that we liked in free agency, and on the first play of the preseason, he dislocated his shoulder, and he's out for the rest of the season. An unfortunate, bizarre injury happened to Rashee Rice, and now he's out for the rest of the season. But now it is about how you respond to it, and I know that Pat can make anything happen. This team's wide receiver, right now the Chiefs, let's say they don't make a move, right? They're counting on Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman and that cast of characters, not just to be productive for the whole season, but to be healthy for the whole season. I know that you guys don't care about regular season. All that matters is the postseason. I'm telling you that there is another 4 months left in the football season. They got a long way to go in this thing. It's the middle of October, and football season doesn't end until early February. You've already faced injuries. I know it sounds bad. Other injuries are going to happen to the Chiefs. That's just the way that football works. We are talking about the Chiefs the way that they are currently put together now. That is nobody else getting hurt moving forward. They're not going through another 12 weeks, 13 weeks of football and having no additional injuries. So I would just start to prepare and start to get ready, not just for this season, but for the offseason. I think the Amari Cooper contract can be relatively... He's not a guy that I think you got to break the bank for. How much do you think he's worth? Right now, he's making $20 million. I think that's in line with what he's worth. Would you sign him to a two-year, $40 million deal and guarantee $25 million of it at the end of the season? That's a contract I would give Amari Cooper. He is a productive, been relatively healthy in his career receiver, and they just don't have a lot of dependable options in that room. So I will continue to say between now and the deadline, the player that I most want them to go out and get is Amari Cooper. He makes the most sense to me as a player. His contract makes sense. What I think his compensation makes sense. The team that he is currently playing for, I think they're going to be in a selling mood here coming up in a couple of weeks. He is by far and away the player that makes the most logical sense to me for the Chiefs to go out and grab as we get closer to the deadline on November 5th. We can get back to the Chiefs here in a bit, but I did want to give you guys that trade proposal. Shout out to the people over at Kansas City Sports Network. All right, Rob, hit me.
It's 5 o'clock. And your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C.Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number one.
Carrington, first things first. Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Do you think that Deshaun Watson would start right now at Baker?
I like to believe an upstanding institution like Baker wouldn't want him.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, it'd be a real quarterback controversy right now at Baker. I don't know if he goes in there and just wins the job. I don't know if it's 100% certain that Deshaun Watson's the starting quarterback at Baker. I don't know who that young man is. Salute to him. I certainly mean no disrespect to him. This is more directed toward Deshaun Watson. He's terrible.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think they would take him if he guaranteed his entire salary as a donation to the athletic department?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Just give us all that money.
You know, we might have Deshaun Watson on this show if he dedicated his salary.
Well, getting to the non-Chiefs, biggest story of the day in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals still, as J.J. Piccolo met with the media earlier today following the Royals' season end last week. We talked a lot on this show about outfield. He was asked, hey, what's the plan for outfield going forward?
You know, generally speaking, when you're looking at left field, right field, that's where you're thinking about. They're your power guys, you know, and we know this ballpark doesn't lend itself to homers, but it does lend itself to slug. So we've got to be more productive there, and that's where I think being optimistic about some of the guys that we have and looking at the experience they have, I think that's fine. Like we shouldn't be writing guys off because they're in their third year in the major leagues. It takes some years to become good major league hitters. Now, along the way, that doesn't mean what Q was able to do this year. You don't help them along. You help them succeed. You know, you don't put them in positions where they're going to fail. So if a left-handed hitter gets a left-handed pitcher, you want to have a right-handed side of that. And if that's how we have to go for the next year or two before guys really become everyday guys, that's the way we'll have to do it. But, you know, clearly, you know, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, you know, if Vinny doesn't get hurt, we got three guys over 100 RBIs. I think we would have been the only team in baseball that would have had three over 100 RBIs. They're carrying the lion's share of the offense and the production, and that's okay. So that should take more pressure off of the back end of the lineup. But again, the outfield is a spot that we need to be more productive.
The outfield is a spot that need to be more productive. Carrington, how refreshing is it to hear the Royals are acknowledging their problem and seem, at least in the end-of-year press conference, like they are willing to do the things necessary to try to fix the problem, which is different than regimes past?
I mean, I would say that the Royals right now have two holes on their team. I would say third baseman. They need a little bit more production offensively from that position. I would also say the outfield. So it is encouraging that the Royals identify what their issue is the same way that I think many of us identify what their issue is. I mean, if you're looking at this team right now, I mean, what he's telling you is 100% factual. They just didn't get nearly enough production offensively from their corner outfield spots. Now, the question is, and it's always the question with the Royals, is are the Royals now willing to spend the money that it would take to fix this issue? Last year, when it came to starting pitching, they spent the money to fix it. They went out and they got Michael Wacha. They went out and got Seth Lugo. And magically, when you spend resources to fix a problem, said problem gets fixed. They now have another problem. They need to go pick up a bat. They need a Kendrys Morales type. They need somebody that can play DH for them, that can hit sixth or seventh or maybe possibly fifth in this lineup, that can give you some really good production. I now don't think that the Royals are going out here and making a whole lot of drastic changes. I also think that the Royals are going to kind of wait for MJ Melendez to see if he figures things out. I mean, we're talking about he's 25 years old. He has shown a versatility and an ability to play multiple positions. But this year, I mean, he hit 206. He had an on-base percentage of 273. He slugged at 400. Like, they just need more production for him if he's going to be an everyday, every game kind of player. I mean, he played in 135 games this year and had 450 plate appearances this year. So the Royals were committed to giving MJ Melendez an opportunity offensively. We'll see if it works out moving forward. But I do think he is going to be part of their plan. Let's see if they do something in center or if they do something in right.
Number two.
Well, as always, Carrington, the NFL is a story, especially after a Sunday where the top story in the NFL is actually a team the Chiefs have faced in the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the Browns. That's not the story. After the game, head coach Nick Sirianni can be seen taunting fans in the stands at Lincoln Financial Field. Damian Woody this morning on Get Up on ESPN definitely had some thoughts on what Sirianni did postgame.
Bro, that was clown behavior. He looked like Nick Sirianni looked like an absolute clown doing all of that. I mean, the fact that you're going to sit up there and argue with people who spend their hard-earned money to come watch you play. If you don't put out a good performance, guess what? They have every right to boo you. And you need to take that because that's part of your job as a head coach. You can't have it one way or the other. Like, it's an all-encompassing job. And for you to sit there and then have your kids in the post game to kind of deflect from, you know, reporters trying to come after you, it's lame, it's weak, he's a clown. It just looks ridiculous. Oh, by the way, you barely beat the Cleveland Browns at home. So don't give me any of that.
Yeah, no.
Bro, that was clown behavior.
I have been thinking a lot about this over the course of the last like 24 hours or so. So we had Mitch Holthus on the show last week, and we spent a lot of time talking about culture. And I'll play for you what Mitch Holthus had to say. And I think about whether it's the companies, the institutions, the teams, the organizations. Why do teams have success? Talent is clearly a major part of it. But I think what you're seeing across sports in general, whether it's baseball and the parity that I think exists we've seen so far in this postseason, whether it's college basketball, whether it's college football, whatever it is, there is more talent than ever before, and the talent is more spread out than ever before. You can't hoard the talent the way that you could 5, 10, 15 years ago. People are going to go to where the money is, the best opportunities, the best exposure, etc. This is a really good time for parity. So what separates teams? What separates coaches? What separates organizations? It's culture. And I say this every single year. I am a firm believer that teams take on the personality of their leader. Look at the Detroit Lions. How have the Lions been able to turn things around over the course of the last 24 months when they couldn't figure it out for the last 24 years? Culture. They brought in a head coach who has a very strong personality, who has got people to buy in and believe, and now look at the success that they are having. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. It's more than just Patrick Mahomes. Think about what the organization was before Andy Reid appeared. Think about what it's been since Andy Reid has been here. Think about how hard it is for you to be doing something as long as Andy Reid has done it. And the amount of people that we can count that have a bad thing to say about Andy Reid, you can count on one hand. It's McCoy, it's Le'Veon Bell, it's people who have kind of been malcontents at other places. Those are the only people that we know that have anything bad to say about Andy Reid. It's culture, it's character. Those things matter. And when I look around the NFL and I see a team whose starting quarterback went to vacation during the middle of your offseason, when I look at a team that sold its soul to go get a quarterback who has absolutely no moral compass, when I look at teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, who head coach is arguing with fans, there is a clear divide in the NFL. And it's not just quarterback and the have and the have-nots. It's about culture. And how you create it from the moment you step into the building. This is the standard. And how you're able to execute it and how you're able to get people to buy in to what you are selling.
There is such a strong infrastructure. When you look at Brett Veach and the comprehensive, not only the talent, but the work ethic of his staff, the way they handle the camp, the way that they work and find guys. You alluded to it with Juju and Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine assimilating into the system so quickly. That part of that is Brett Veach and his staff. A lot of it is the coaching staff of Andy Reid. No team, in fact, it's hard to look at all of professional sports. Who has a better infrastructure when you look at a personnel department, a coaching staff, and Hall of Fame folks than the Kansas City Chiefs right now? Who in the NBA would have it? Me? I don't know. Who would it be? But it goes back to an incredible, unshakable infrastructure that's there that has enough wiggle room that it deals with flashpoints like the Chiefs are now. We're living something really incredible right now. Who in baseball has the infrastructure that the Chiefs would have at this point? Who in hockey's got it? I mean, it's you ask the question, and to me, it's undeniably the Chiefs in how solid they are at every point of the star.
The Chiefs are not winning all of these games because they outplay their opponent. They are not winning all of these games because Patrick Mahomes plays superhuman in every game. I do think they win a lot of these games because of a culture that they have established inside their building. The Chiefs don't panic when they get down 10. They play their game. The Chiefs have off-the-field issues. They always seem to get resolved in-house. It's not really messy around Kansas City. There's not a lot of news and information coming out of the building about this or this conversation. There's not a lot of anonymous quotes that come out of Kansas City's building. No, they have a structure. They have a culture that they have that committed to, and they have executed better than every other team in the National Football League. And you see it, especially when it's a bye week, when the Chiefs are removed from it and you're just walking around and watching the rest of the league. For the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles to be arguing with Eagles fans after a win against a bottom five team in the Cleveland Browns, They had a bye week. They beat the Browns by four, and their head coach turns around and is jawing with the fans. You will never win that way in the National Football League. Not consistently, not week in, week out. It's too hard to do it. So that was my biggest takeaway from the weekend. It's just culture. The Browns have a terrible culture. It's established by their quarterback. The Eagles, their culture. It is their coach and their quarterback don't get along. There was a long story on ESPN at the beginning of the season of how they're not on the same page. They had another conversation about that after the bye week, about getting on the same page. It's not hard to see how it's difficult to get on the same page as Nick Sirianni. That stuff matters. It really, really does. Coming up on the other side, we had Vern on the show earlier. I want to place for you some of what Vern had to say about what the Royals could potentially do this offseason. JJ Piccolo talked about it. This team needs to go grab another outfielder, needs to go grab a bat. They also need to figure out what's going to happen now with no Michael Wacha. We asked Vern about it. We'll play it for you next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Monday. We have a really good Monday night football game today, a divisional matchup between the Jets and the Bills. I'll give you guys my pick coming up in just a bit. We'll also talk about the matchup a little bit. Really excited to watch a little Monday night football. We'll also talk some college football in our final segment today as well. It was a great weekend of college football. It lived up to the hype. The Ohio State-Oregon game was a lot of fun. LSU and Ole Miss was a lot of fun. The night game between K-State and Colorado ended up being high-scoring and a lot of fun. This has been a really enjoyable college football season. If you haven't gotten into it, you still got time. This is another great weekend coming up in college football. Earlier today, we had Vern join us on the show today, and we asked him the question, do you think the Royals are going to be patient, or do you think there's a possibility that they move on from MJ Melendez?
MJ Melendez did in the second half of last season. Michael Massey's never done. MJ Melendez has remained healthy for a full season. Vinny Pasquantino's never done that. Again, Bobby Witt Jr. is an MVP candidate and will be for the next decade plus. So, yeah, he made the jump to that MVP caliber, but... I would disagree that Massey made any sort of jump, that we saw something new from Vinny this year. This Vinny this year, to me, was the guy that we started to see last year prior to the shoulder injury. And the upside of MJ Melendez is still there. To me, you're a mid-market, small-market ball club. MJ Melendez is not the type of talent that Kansas City can let get away, right? He, in my opinion, still has 25, 30 home run power. He's, 25, about to turn 25? I think MJ Melendez certainly has a spot on the opening day roster for next year.
Looking at this team, I think one decision that the Royals tried to kind of make a move and it didn't work out, I think that's the Hunter Renfroe move. They were kind of counting on him to be some form of stability. You know, you go out, you make a move, you sign him, you're thinking that he's going to add to it. But, I mean, I would say it's just a problem that they had at the beginning of the season, and now that we close out the season, they still have the exact same problem despite paying Hunter Renfroe.
Yeah, and they're going to pay him again next year as well. He had a terrible month of April, no doubt about it. But once the calendar flipped to May, he was who he's been for the past 6-7 years of his big league career, and that is an extra base provider. Unfortunately, got hurt again at the in the second half of the season, and we didn't see him get hot again, and we obviously didn't see him much in October. But he has a player option, right? I heard JJ talking about, you presenting it as if Kansas City could be a destination now for free agents. I don't get that sense just yet. To me, Kansas City's a place where, yeah, playing with Bobby would be fun, but you got to pay me, right? I'm not taking any sort of a discount to go to Kansas City. To me, they're not that close to being the team of the next. They're not where Baltimore was last year, where you think, man, if I could just jump aboard that train, this is going to be a squad that's going to be winning this American League East for the next half decade. Yeah, to your overall point, yeah, if you're looking for an offensive improvement as far as thump this offseason, yeah, it's likely going to be a one-year contract with a player option for a second. It's going to be a guy that's not going to play every single day. I certainly wouldn't assume with Renfroe and Isbell and Melendez all returning next season. Maybe they platoon with MJ and left for a while. Maybe they platoon with Renfroe and right for a while. But an everyday bat, the kind of free agents that we saw last offseason, I'm not holding my breath for that.
Vern, do you think there's any chance that this organization is willing to spend the 3-for-45 to 3-for-41 for an outfield bat? Or do you think it's only that market you're talking about, a one-year deal with a very heavily favored player option for that player to come back for year two?
Yeah, I would lean towards the latter. The 3-for-45, 3-for-50, that's a guy that's going to hit in the middle of your lineup. Or at least, 5, 6, 7 in your lineup and play just about every day. I don't see where anyone plays every single day, because who are we giving up on? Or who are the Royals giving up on? Massey or Michael? I'm not saying they play every day, but who are you giving up on where you're giving an everyday role to someone else? I don't see that spot in the field, and you know, I don't know if I see that spot even at designated hitter unless you make a move this offseason and you depart with one of these offensive pieces, one of these arms. You know, that's how you could open up some everyday at-bats. But again, an organization that broke off north of $100 million in free agent money this past offseason and obviously benefited from it. You know, Lugo's making 15 again. I mentioned Renfro's coming back at a big number for the type of production that he's been putting out there. And the biggest loss isn't, the biggest hole to me is not in the offense. It's going to be in that spot that Michael Wacha is going to vacate in the rotation, because the only reason why this team was even competitive, the only reason why this team made it to October was that starting pitching. You don't lose someone the caliber of Michael Wacha and think, all right, next man up. To offset the loss of a Michael Wacha, you're going to need a lot of internal improvement. So for as much as we want to look externally for the answer for the 2025 Kansas City Royals, it's likely internally. It's Michael, it's Massey, it's MJ, it's Brady, it's Marsh. It's the guys that we saw kind of put it together in the second half, the Bubich, the Daniel Lynches, guys that hopefully have taken this home stretch, this trip to October, and are going to use it as fuel and come back better than ever this February.
Vern, could you see a scenario in which one of those guys get traded? Could they package a MJ Melendez? Could they package a Brady Singer to go get what they want if they don't want to go out in free agency and spend big bucks?
Of course, of course. And they're going to have to do that consistently. Again, for as much as I know John Sherman would push back with the thought that the Royals are copying how Cleveland and Tampa and Milwaukee, how they go about winning consistently. And I'll give them this. You know, they do things somewhat different in Kansas City, like breaking Bobby Witt Jr. off $300 million. Haven't seen that in those other small market teams. But, the Royals can't stop. The way they built this team, trades, waiver claims, great free agent signings, some homegrown talent, that's what they need to do every single offseason, every single year. You need to win those waiver claims, win those trades. I remember being on with you when they signed Seth Lugo. We liked the deal, but we certainly didn't think they were going to come away with the guy that's going to make 33 starts with a 3 ERA and make it to his first All-Star game. Those are the type of home runs this team needs to hit damn near every year, whether it's a trade deadline deal like Cole Reagan's or it's a free agent signing like Seth Lugo. JJ can't stop if they want to win the way that they, the way that John Sherman wants them to win, to be in the wild card conversation every single season. No, you have to be open to trading everyone outside of Bobby Witt Jr. You know, there are Bobby Witt Jr. and Cole Reagan's. There's no one that you're really tied to, right? Lucas Ursegg, obviously, Hunter Harvey, guys that have a lot of control. But as far as, extending them past their team control, you know, a Lugo or all of them, when they hit free agency, they're likely leaving Kansas City, everybody but Bobby Witt Jr. So you're always ready to churn that talent and bring in new faces, new arms, new bats.
That was our guy, Josh Vernier, that was on the show earlier today. Check out the podcast page if you missed any part of our conversation. Had a really good dialogue with Josh Vernier earlier today about the Kansas City Royals and what they need to do for the offseason. I promise Vern that unless there is big news, Vern will not be on the show, at least in the short term, because he deserves a vacation like everybody. All right, Rob, let's do this. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for Monday Night Football between the Jets and the Bills. I'm really excited. I think we got I know we have one good team. I'm not really sure what the Jets are, but I do think the game's going to be close and competitive. And we'll also talk some college football, as we just had an incredible weekend in the sport. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We got some updated news right now in the NFL. Hopefully, you still have some time to adjust your fantasy lineups accordingly. James Cook out for tonight's game. He has a toe injury. So Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, also Frank Gore Jr., they are going to have to lead the way, at least when it comes to the running portion of it. Obviously, Josh Allen is going to be a major part of that as well. James Cook also catches the ball for them out of the backfield, too. So this is a pretty significant loss for them. I think their offense has really started to mature once they've incorporated James Cook and added his versatility today. I do think this about tonight's game. This feels like a matchup in which both teams take care of business at home. I like Buffalo. I think they're a good team. This Jets team, it kind of feels like this is their season here. You're at home. It's Monday Night Football. You just fired your coach. You go on the road. I mean, the next two Jets games are on national television. They have the Bills game on Monday Night Football, and then you also get them on Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you can go from being out of this thing if you're the Jets, if you lose this, and now you got a night game in Pittsburgh and you're going up against that defense and that pass rush, or completely changing the conversation about you if you can figure out a way to win these next 2 weeks. I do think that the Jets take care of business at home today. I do think it's pretty close. It's not a game that I'm going to touch, at least in terms of who I think is going to win. I've got a couple of player props that I like for this game, but I am not taking any action on the winner. I'm just going to simply watch the game, cheer for Dalton Kincaid to get 4 or 5 catches, cheer for some other things, some anytime touchdowns, but that is at least it for me when it comes to the game. I do think we'll see a more desperate, hungry version of the Jets, or if they lose this and they fall to 2-4, and now you got to go on the road to Pittsburgh, we can go ahead and cross off the New York Jets. They're not a playoff team.
In that vein, if the Bills win tonight, is this the last year of Aaron Rodgers? Because they'll be, what, 2-4. They will have no longer had the coach that he wanted. They will no longer have the play caller OC he wanted. At 2-4, do you really suspect the Jets are going to be hemorrhaging picks to go get Davante Adams? Probably not. That's not really good GM work, even if the GM might be broomed out. If it's 2-4, it probably ends 6-11, 7-10-ish.
Probably so.
Does that mean Aaron Rodgers comes back for one last go round? I would bet against it based on his age and how he's looked this year. Like, I do think the Jets win tonight because it's like that back against the wall, rally around the D coordinator, and you see a cool locker room video after the game about how they all love the new guy, blah, blah, blah. But if they lose, is Aaron Rodgers' NFL tenure over?
That's a good question. I think Rodgers is going to come back next year, but me trying to predict what next year Aaron Rodgers is going to do is a fruitless exercise. Right now, I would bet that Aaron Rodgers plays next season. I do think he'll have input on who the head coach is going to be. He'll have input on some other things. I mean, the biggest problem for that team right now is they just can't block. I mean, Breece Hall is averaging 3 yards a carry. You're just too talented of an offense to just be so just ineffective right now. And I think a lot of that is the offensive line. I do have a couple of college football thoughts before we get out of here. Who are we handing things off today to?
We got Bink tonight for After Hours.
Bink coming up. All right, cool. So shout out to Bink. I haven't seen him around here yet, so I wasn't sure who's coming on later. There are three teams undefeated in the Big 12. Do you know who they are, Rob?
It's Tech, BYU, Iowa State, right?
Who would have guessed? Like, honestly, who would have guessed? Now, I understand that K-State got blown out in one of their games. I mean, K-State is 2-1, and they have a negative point differential. Arizona State got a nice home win against Utah this past weekend. Colorado was 2-1. Cincinnati's 2-1. I mean, we thought this conference was going to be up for grabs. I mean, that's exactly what it's been. It's been up for grabs. I still think the K-State is in a really, really good spot. I don't want to overreact to a road loss against BYU, but, I mean, you got on the road against West Virginia. You got Arizona State coming to town. I think Arizona State has proven themselves to be pretty competitive. You still play KU. I know that's a rivalry game that they've dominated, but it is a rivalry game. We usually kind of throw the records out. That's one that is an exception. And then at the end of the season, it is K-State on the road at Iowa State. That feels like it's going to be the game that determines who represents the Big 12 in the conference championship. I think that BYU is going to be one of those two teams. They got to play somebody. I would guess that they either play K-State or they play Iowa State, and the winner of Farmageddon is going to be that team. Now, I'm not going to make it seem like I'm some K-State historian or anything. I cannot imagine a bigger game between K-State and Iowa State if those are the stakes at the end of the season. We're talking about two ranked teams, and basically that becomes a playoff game. The only path that you have of making the playoff if you're either one of those teams is winning your league. So if the winner of that game advances and then you play BYU for a spot in the college football playoff, it could be a really fun November here locally in college football.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. Who would have guessed? The Big 12 is, I was talking about this weekend with some friends, the Big 12 is a lot of fun because it is extreme parity. Like,
for sure.
If this Saturday the team near the bottom beat a team near the top, you wouldn't be fall out of your chair stunned. Like, Oklahoma State's having a down year. If they go out and they beat a team like, you know, BYU this year, are you going to be shocked?
Yeah, I mean, no. they got them this week on the road. That's actually yeah. One of my bigger bets is I'm actually fading Oklahoma State. I think that team is done. If I'm Ollie Gordon, I'm preparing for the NFL. We're 0-3. We're not in the college football race anymore. BYU has just been running through teams. I think BYU puts it on Oklahoma State this weekend.
But if Oklahoma State won, would you be falling out of your chair stunned? No. There's a lot of parity, but not any really good teams. The SEC has a lot of good teams and parity, but the Big 12, everyone's basically the same. It's like a one-possession game every weekend.
Today was a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well. We're going to talk a lot more college football this week because the Chiefs were off. We're going to head to K-State later on in the week. Going to head to Lawrence. Going to head to Columbia. Really excited for what we have in the following 6-7 weeks in college football. We'll also get you ready for Chiefs and Niners, one of the marquee games this weekend in the National Football League. Take care of yourself. Until tomorrow, I'll catch you guys. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.